So yeah, like FPSs, what can I say? There's nothing like the rush of hunting people down and killing them. I mean, my heart's beating, my hands are shaking, but I'm still shooting, and I'm still getting the headshots, it's like, boom, headshot, boom, headshot, I'm still getting the headshots, it's like, boom, headshot, boom, headshot, boom, headshot.
What is up, everyone? Welcome to Boom Headshot, your weekly gaming podcast fix. As always, it's the same geek every week. I'm your host, Jordan Thompson, and this is episode number 40. This is part two of my guest spot on the Deep Seated Geek monthly Google Hangout, where we continue our discussion on the Xbox One and PS4. So without further ado, here it is.
Okay, before we get on to our next question, Irving Washington sent another little comment, or it's a question, excuse me. Is there anything new that the next generation of consoles brings to the storytelling aspect of video gaming? Is next gen making it possible to tell new kinds of stories, or to tell stories in ways that could not be used before?
Yep.
I think so. Interesting.
I think that there is, especially in the graphical department, there's a lot more room to express emotion in games. I mean, think of the demo that we saw from Quantic Dream for the facial animations at E3. Or was it E3? I can't remember.
The magician or the dark magician. Sorcerer.
Imagine the kind of emotional storytelling that we can see with that kind of graphical level of engagement. That's really the big thing that I would see.
I think for me, just going back to a game I recently played, I'm starting to look at the graphic kind of potential, not so much from like how realistic can this be, like the Quantic Dreams, the facial capture and all that. That's amazing stuff, and we're going to see it like go leaps and bounds. We're going to go past that uncanny valley kind of experience there, and it's going to be like one for one eventually. Possibly this or the very next generation. Might even come down to a PC thing now that consoles are neck and neck with them. They can expand their capabilities now a bit too.
Yeah.
But I think for me, storytelling-wise, I don't think so much on the individual player aspect of it. I don't think we'll see more storytelling with them, but with the graphical powerhouse that we have now, we'll see it environmental. Like what we hear on the Axe Factor a lot of the time, Roger, the ludonarrative.
Yeah.
You know, where the environment will be able to tell the story. And an example of that, for me, is the game Brothers, A Tale of Two Sons. If you've played that game, or if you've seen that game, you know that, yeah, the characters, they do tell their own story. But the environment, like, it's built on the Unreal Engine, and you think, oh, Gears of War, Batman Arkham City, and all that. But what they did, they used the engine not so much for the detail in the characters, but the scale of the environments, and that told such an amazing story, and that in itself made a world unlike any other through like a single-player game that I've experienced for quite a long time. So with next-gen kind of stuff, I think the ludonarrative storytelling is really going to take a forefront, and that's the kind of storytelling that I'm looking forward to with next-gen stuff. There will always be the character moments like in The Last of Us that's just going to grip us. There's going to be stuff that's capable like The Walking Dead still that doesn't necessarily need next-gen technology. But yeah, I think with new power behind a system, that'll open up the gates for new innovation in different ways to tell stories like you're suggesting that maybe we're not even capable of thinking of right now. I'm really keen on the idea that we are the storytellers. Mm-hmm. Like in games like DayZ and Minecraft, there is no narrative. It's what you make of it that becomes the story. So.
Yeah, totally.
Let's just ponder that for a moment. Let's just revel in how smart I sounded for a second there. I'm such an ass.
Let me bat my lashes a little bit here.
Yeah, exactly.
let's take this moment to soak that in. It doesn't happen often.
So we mentioned. All right. So jumping right along, let's get off me for now. I didn't say let's get me off. I said get off me. There's the difference. Key difference there. We've mentioned it a little bit, hinted at here, but I want to know for all of us, what games have you been playing on the console, or which games do you want to play? What games are you looking forward to? Or hold on. Yeah, skip that last part. That's the next question. We'll blend them into the same thing. Why not that? So what games are you playing right now on your consoles, and which games coming down the pipeline are you looking forward to the most? This time we will start with Mike.
I've been looking forward to, I guess, ones that are not ports of indie games that already exist. I've been looking forward mostly to ports of indie games that already exist, but the ones that aren't, stuff like Titanfall, I'm really, really looking forward to, but I guess I can also get that on PC. Rise looks like it's going to be really, really cool. The more and more I look at Killswitch, which was something that wasn't really on my radar, it looks kind of awesome. I don't know if you guys have had that experience.
Which one is Killswitch? I don't know if I've seen anything for that.
Is it not Killswitch?
Oh, Killzone?
Like, Killzone.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. I thought it was an indie game that you were talking about.
I'm pulling a Rob Ford. Smoking.
Dad crack.
Yeah, and I don't. Some of the launch games that, well, I guess they weren't really launch games, but some of the games that I was really looking forward to have kind of already come out. I was looking forward to seeing how Battlefield 4 and the new COD were going to look, and Battlefield 4 looks okay, but COD Ghost is looks to be a pretty big disappointment on a lot of people's, you know, in a lot of people's opinions.
I wonder about that, because it's always going to be a hard transition point that, like, especially with annualized games, you know, that come out every year, come hell or high water, and to fully commit to the next-gen thing right out of the gate, that's going to be a hard one. But I'm curious to know, like, if the Call of Duty complaints for the next-gen stuff is due to what their expectations were for a next-gen Call of Duty or Battlefield 4 against the actual game itself. Do you know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah. Well, it sounds like Battlefield 4 actually did it right. It sounded like a lot of people really like the graphical integrity of the game is impressive. Mm. And that's what a lot of people are looking for when they're looking at a game like Call of Duty or Battlefield. And I don't think, apparently Call of Duty just doesn't feel like next-gen yet, apparently.
No, I can attest for that. I mean, I was very held off on getting either of them because there was a lot of bugs in Battlefield 4 that transitioned both from PC to console. There was one big issue that my friends were telling me about where if you used a certain gun, I can't remember which one it was, you throw a silencer on it, and as soon as you shoot that, you kill sound for everyone on the server. So that all you'll hear is the announcer. That's a big issue. I mean, I don't want to run into that. I mean, graphically, the game looks amazing. I've seen it in action, and it's really good. I threw Call of Duty in, I guess it would have been two nights ago. Threw it in for the first time, and I was disappointed, not with the fact that it's a next-gen game, but with the fact that it didn't feel like an improvement in the series. I think that's where a lot of people's issues lie. I think there was game modes that were changed. I've spent probably about 6-7 hours with it so far. Single player is lackluster, and I don't usually play COD or Battlefield games for single player, but multiplayer is all right so far. I need to give it some more time, though.
You know, there's one thing, now that you're bringing up Call of Duty, that just really irked me a little bit about the way they've kind of changed it. And it kind of bleeds over into the consoles itself, in a way, where the menus in Call of Duty look just atrocious. I've only played Black Ops 2, And that menu system seemed to flow very well. It was nicely categorized. Everything was like three-dimensional. You could check it out right there. And as from what I've seen in video clips of Ghosts and their menu system, it just looks really unintuitive. Like, it doesn't flow, you know?
No.
And from my experience with the PlayStation 4 and from what I've seen on Xbox One videos, the menus are stupid. Like, that whole thing, like, you turn on your PlayStation 4 and it's just an infinite row of everything that you've got on your system. And if you go to the back where the settings are and you finick, like, play around with that, it'll bump it up to the front and then everything gets relisted that way. You know, so it's not set in stone. You know, like on the old PlayStation 3 dashboard, you'd go into a game system and then it would file down in whatever order it's meant to be, and there it is. It resets itself all the time. I don't like that.
See, and that wasn't something I'd even really paid attention to until I was watching your last
episode.
Damn it,
Jordan, come on!
Well, it didn't bother me. I actually like the design and how you've got your settings and everything on that top row, so that never changes, but your games and media are on the second row, and now that can change from game to game, but I don't know. I don't find it to be an issue for me personally.
The only thing, it's not the biggest drawback for me right now, but I think about, like, all the digital content that I am probably going to buy on this thing, and if it just remains, I hope to God it's just like a placeholder for their user interface. But if it's going to be like 20 some odd PS4 games that are just listed infinitely, and I have to scroll down to get each and every one, that's going to be just a pain in the ass. And when I looked at the Xbox One's dashboard kind of thing, it just looks a mess. You know, maybe it makes sense once you get in it, but it's got that cube thing all over. And
it's the Windows 8 interface, really, is what they're going for.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, because it's the same thing for Windows 8. Their tablets, phones, and the OS. They're trying to have that customizable user interface, and I get what they're coming from because they want to have it the same across all their platforms.
Which makes sense, but if you're main look is ugly, you need to change it.
I totally agree.
Yeah. Okay. Blah, blah, blah. Who did we leave off on? Where did we leave off? We are very professional. We've got our shit together.
Michael was chatting about games last, I believe.
Right. So, Dino, what have you been playing?
Well, Assassin's Creed 4.
Yep.
Playing the crap out of it. As a fan of the series, it's a beautiful game. It's one of the best of the series so far. That's what I've been playing. What I want to play is, I really, really can't wait for Watch Dogs.
Oh, yes. Didn't your heart just sink when they said not on launch day?
it sunk, but at the same time, I was like, that sucks, but it's good because it means that it's going to be a better game when it comes out. And I'm okay with that.
And it didn't make me
buy
sad.
Buy it on PC.
It didn't make me sad until I got my PS4 and went, I really wish I had this game.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking too when I was buying my games. I was like, okay, I'll take Assassin's Creed and...
is there anything else to buy?
Well, luckily you had Lego Super Heroes if you didn't get that. That's game on any system, that is a fantastic
so
way
good.
To spend. Yeah.
Cool.
What was I going to say? I'll get to it in a little bit. Jordan, what are you playing? Sounds like you're playing everything.
That's kind of my problem, is I can't just stick on one thing for too long. Initially I picked up Assassin's Creed and the hell was the other one I bought? Oh yeah, Killzone. Yeah, that's how much I'm liking Killzone. I can't even remember it. Assassin's Creed is absolutely beautiful. The game looks phenomenal. I think it's a huge step in the right direction as far as where they came from 3, because I absolutely hated 3. I thought it was a piece of shit. Yeah, that game annoys me to no
which
end.
Reminds me, Dean, thank you very much for buying that for me.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like a joke, but I am being sincere. I never got to thank you personally, so thank you very much.
The first time I played through Assassin's Creed 3, I hated it. I went on a little bit of a rant about it. Mm. The second time I played it, I actually played through... I got to play through all the content before I finished the game, and that made a big difference, and actually made the game more like a well-rounded experience.
Okay. I may have to go back at some point and give it a chance, but I'm spending way too much time in AC4 just because I love what they're doing with the story. I don't want to spoil anything. I don't want to give anything away, but the direction they've gone is it's thrown me for a loop in the... I think I'm on sequence 3 or 4, but I'm questioning, because if you know the story well enough, you're going, wait, didn't this... but that was over here, so why is it over here? What? So I'm looking forward to... finding out how everything ends up playing out and what's going on. So lots of love for that game. Rezogun, if you just want something mindless to sit there and just have a blast with, play this game. So good. Me and my other half have been playing that a lot. And then on Friday I picked up Ghosts and Lego Marvel, which is easily one of my favorite purchases so far.
Yeah.
That game is a ton of fun. So much collectible stuff, like
I know.
It blows my mind.
It's, you know, one of the best things I have experienced with that game. I compare it still to Arkham City, but it's one of those ones where, like, if you spend enough time to get enough collectibles to go into these secret rooms, you are repaid with such geeky goodness. You know, like unlockable characters that you're like, oh my god, they put that person in here? You know,
I was so excited that before I had even got home to play it, I had already purchased the $5 character DLC pack and had it installing because I had the PlayStation app on my phone. And I was like, you're going to install, and when I get home, bam, you're going to be done. I love that.
Do you mind if I ask real quick, what characters are in the DLC pack?
I think it was... I'm going to have to take a look here. Man, you put me on the spot. No.
Sorry.
No, it's all good. Marvel. I think there was Dark Phoenix. Let me see.
It wasn't Thanos, was it?
I don't think so.
Because I knew there was something about, like... Yeah. I think that was a GameStop or EB Games exclusive thing, where if you pre-ordered it through them, they had Thanos as a DLC character. Ooh. I know. I heard about that afterwards. I'm like, son of a bitch! It'll probably come eventually, but, you know.
Was that Thanos at the end of Avengers?
Yep.
Okay, here we go. Super Pack. You've got Dark Phoenix, the Winter Soldier, Symbiote Spider-Man, Hawkeye, Falcon, and Beta Ray Bill.
Yeah!
And then you've got, it says, leave more damage with big Lego figures, Thanos and A-Bomb, and speed through 10 new races aboard the Spider-Mobile and Hawkeye's Sky Cycle.
So Thanos is in there. I gotta get that.
Yeah, and then there's also an Asgard pack for $2, which is probably gonna be worth picking up at some point if you want Thor Dark World characters.
Yeah, Dino, if you don't have the game yet, man, I swear to God, if you it's buy the game and you don't enjoy it, I will pay you back. That's how much
actors.
I think you would love this. I know the voice. My God, they got everybody.
Everyone.
From, like,
anyone who is anyone in the voice acting industry is
they
in
are
this game.
In that game. Yeah.
They actually got Coulson.
I know.
I was so excited. Yeah. I was like, wait, that's Coulson. Holy shit.
Have you guys played Injustice, Gods Among Us?
Yes.
Yes.
I got that on PC last week.
Nice.
And until Assassin's Creed came out. That story surprised me. You don't expect a story in a fighting game. And then you play it, and you're like, what the hell?
The last couple really games from NetherRealm, they've had pretty good storylines to them. Mm-hmm. Like, Mortal Kombat, I heard, was a great story, and now this one?
It was good. I thought that this is way better than any Mortal Kombat story
I'd considered actually buying the digital download for Injustice for PS4.
Oh yeah.
I might have to do that. Even just to get like something where it's a co-op or like 1v1 kind of game just for the system, that'd be a good one.
Yeah.
Man. Well, Roger, what are you playing, bud?
Well, I've been playing Killzone, Knack, Lego Marvel Super Heroes, Rezogun, Contrast, and Flower again, which that game looks even more beautiful now.
I love Flower. That's just...
It looks so beautiful.
It is.
And in 60 frames per second, 1080p, oh my god. Yeah, that's pretty much what I've been playing. Eight of them, probably Knack the most, just because I want to try and finish it.
Yeah. I was going to ask, what are your thoughts on Contrast? Because it looked like a really amazing game, and then if you read the critics, it's not doing so hot. So as a gamer, how are you finding that one?
I've played through about half of it so far. The story is interesting. The gameplay mechanic's really cool, but probably not used as good as it could have been, I guess, if that makes sense.
Okay.
Yeah. But otherwise, yeah, it's unique. I've heard that it's rather short, though, unfortunately.
Hmm. Well, that's cool. At least they're trying something different with it.
You know?
Sometimes you can look past its shortcomings with games. Like, there was a game I played not too long ago where they were, like, if you read the reviews for the game, it wasn't that positive, but as I played through it, it was, you know, really interesting as a game itself. I forget what it was now. I think it was on PC or something. But yeah, that's the hard thing is, I find, with a lot of games that look interesting, once you hear some of the critical feedback, it takes it away, and you almost have your perception kind of skewed with the whole thing. Like, I recently played through Batman Arkham Origins, and going into it, I had high hopes for it, you know, because how can you screw up a Batman game? And then I read some of the...
Wow.
Yeah, exactly, right? And then I read some of the reviews, and they were not very good reviews for the most part. And I'm wondering if maybe that skewed my perception for the game going into it, or if it is exactly what I thought, which was not a very good Batman game. So, so I wonder that, especially with games like Contrast, because they do look like intriguing game ideas.
Yeah. And with Contrast, too, it is free for PlayStation Plus right now, so there's really no excuse not to play it, to try it for yourself.
It's a little short from what I've played. Like, I think I could probably knock it out of the park in, like, 3 to 4 hours if I really wanted to sit down. But it's a nice show of, I think, potential indie games coming to the system.
Now, here's a quick question that I forgot to include in the whole thing. For either one, have you guys gotten the PlayStation Plus, or are you getting Xbox Gold? What are your thoughts there, guys?
I've always had PlayStation Plus, so...
Yeah, I mean, I've always been one to promote PlayStation Plus just because of the value that you get. I mean, for a $50 subscription for a year, you're getting free games and discounts across three platforms, which I think is a huge value, and a lot of people may not actually realize. I think a lot of people have it in their heads that you have to pay for a subscription for each console. So yeah, I love it.
Yeah, I think for November alone, we got like more than $50 worth in content.
Easily.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, Contrast and Rezogun are $15 each right there.
There you go.
The first time I actually bought PlayStation Plus was shortly after I pre-ordered the PlayStation 4. And I think at that time I went on there, and don't quote me on this, but I'm pretty sure with that one purchase, I got to download XCOM Enemy Unknown, Saints Row the Third, the entire single player of Uncharted 3, a bunch of great little indie games that I still embarrassingly have not played yet. And then I think in the next month I got Battlefield 3, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
So it was just like any one of those games would have been worth the price of admission to get them. And I got 4 or 5, you know. Now, some people are kind of looking at that and they're going, well, you got to buy that if you want to play multiplayer. Boo earns. Yeah, but like you guys said, the amount of value that you're getting on top of it, it pays itself back in like so many different ways that you don't even think about the online play.
I would probably say that I've acquired maybe a good between $500 and $800 worth of games having PlayStation Plus.
Mm-hmm. I've been a subscriber since it started, and I've kept the track record, and it's over 2,000 right now.
Is it really? Because wow. I've been about the same. So wow, okay, that's a lot more than I expected.
Mm-hmm. That's crazy. Mike, Dean, what are your thoughts on the subscription kind of part of this whole thing?
Oh, I'll be getting PlayStation Plus. I should have gotten it on day one. I would have gotten like $10 free stuff from the store, but
which was nice. I gotta say, when I bought the PlayStation 3 version of Assassin's Creed, because it had the digital upgrade for $10, and I thought, well, I'll give my nephew the PS3 copy when I'm done with it. And I opened up my PS4, and they had a $10 rebate for the PlayStation Network store. So essentially, I got PS4 Assassin's Creed 4 for free. That's a lot of fours in one sentence. So that was very good value right there. Mike, what about you, man? You think you're going to do a subscription thing?
I have been paying for a subscription for Xbox Live Gold for years now, and I haven't been getting free games up until lately, so... I guess I'm stupid, so I guess if I could get free games, why not?
No, but, I mean, for you, it made sense, because you're much more of an online player than myself, correct?
I pwn noobs on the daily.
Exactly. So that's a requirement, pretty much. If you're going to be doing any kind of multiplayer stuff on Xbox, that's what you need. So there you go. You got your money's worth right there, for sure. It's just the extra stuff that PlayStation is offering that hasn't been around on Xbox Live until recently, which is cool. But correct me if I'm wrong, aren't the games that they're giving away for free the ones that they've like sold in the billions like 5 years ago?
So far, most of the games that they've offered for free are ones that I already have. So really, I'm just a masochist, and I'm paying money to have 13-year-olds tell me that they've slept with my mother, call me racial epithets, and tell me that I suck.
Which you get from us all the time. Why are you paying for it?
Yeah, you don't pay.
Because you're not 13.
That makes
sense. Could be if you paid me enough.
So you're a massage therapist.
Wait, say no more, say no more.
And Jordan with the Monty Python.
Yeah, you know.
We are nerds! This is great.
Hear us, go play video games.
Yes. okay, so before I forget, wait. Oh yeah, I'm
who
just
are you? Why are you people in my house?
I'm just playing Assassin's Creed 4. That's the only thing I'm doing on PlayStation 4 right now. I do like Roger there. I do have Contrast and Flower, which I have played before and highly recommend that one. It's by that game company who made Journey as well. God, brain farts. What was I going to say? But before we get on to our very last question, I'm finally going to get to one of the comments, or questions, I should say, in the comment section from Dotikia. I hope I said that right. She or he asks, what is the best controller for the new consoles for people with smaller hands? At this point, I don't know that... I think you got the best of both worlds there. I mean, the PlayStation 3 was kind of designed for people with smaller hands, so I think anything bigger than that, you're just getting more better. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
If you want something that contours to your hands, yeah, I'd say PlayStation 3 controller. And I'm sure there will be like some guys like Mad Catz or Logitech who will come up with that size controller for the next-gen consoles if you want something that's more contouring. But honestly, I would say I'd say the PlayStation 4 controller right now could accommodate smaller hands as well. It doesn't feel too bulky that, you know, it would be you'd feel out of sorts or anything like that. And from what I understand, the Xbox One controller isn't too far off from the last generation. So, either way, I think you should be good. But yeah, goes back to if neither of those feel very comfortable for you, start shopping around for third-party controllers and look for one that kind of fits you best. What are your thoughts, guys?
I think you kind of hit the nail on the head. Yeah. I mean, as far as the size of the controllers go, they look pretty close to about the same. So, I mean, if you can get your hands on one, I mean, see which one fits better for you, but I'd say they're pretty close.
Fair enough.
Well, I know that when my girlfriend came to using my 360, she grabbed the Xbox 360 controller, and she's tiny. She's 4'10". So she's using this like 360 controller, and she could barely get her hands around it.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah, because she is like, she's three apples tall. She's like a Smurf.
I was watching, so she heard that.
What's she gonna do? She's 4'10". I'm 6'3". You know, if a 360 controller is too big for her, something like, I don't know, like is like a Wii U controller or the PS4 controller, is it considerably smaller?
The PS4 controller is much more along the same size as the Xbox 360 controller.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But the actual like part where you put your, where you have to grip, is thinner.
Yeah, true enough.
Right. So this is the part where you're going to be grabbing from underneath. I don't know if you guys can see that, but they are actually very similar.
Bring it up a little bit. Okay. Okay.
So yeah, I think it comes back to, again, just like I think it was Jordan who mentioned it, but definitely go out and have a feel for these things. You know, don't just go jumping in blindly. Because, I mean, you could buy a system, and I saw a bunch of people walking out the door with extra controllers day one. And what if it just turns out that the controller isn't for you, you know? Then you've spent $100 to $200 on extra controllers that you're just not too comfortable with. So go out there, get a feel for all the controllers themselves, and then judge it by that way. Because that's honestly the only way you'll know, is just by getting your hands on them. And who knows, maybe you want to buy a Vita as well, because that feels more comfortable. You never know.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. So there you go. So I just mentioned it in the comment section here. Before we get on to our last question for this whole discussion, is there anything on YouTube we need to address?
I'm just double checking right now.
While he looks, I want to mention to everybody, if you haven't watched already, Doctor Who, the 50th anniversary show, was yesterday.
Yeah.
And as Roger just informed me, it is coming to a theater near you. So if you're like me and you didn't realize that until right now, you should go online and see if you could get some tickets to go see it. It's going to be in 3D, and it's Doctor Who, so it's going to be all kinds of banana pancakes awesome. So yeah, check that out.
I can't wait to go see that. I've already have a plan to go check it out.
There you go. Dean, why are you spazzing out?
No reason, banana pancakes.
I like that phrase. I'm going to keep it. I thought you were laughing at my Doctor Who obsession. I'm like, fuck
no,
dude.
Why would I do that? That'd be silly.
Okay.
A little known fact, that was actually Jason's nickname back in high school, Banana Pancakes.
Don't want to know the origins.
Was it? I don't remember that.
See, that's how little known a fact it was. Dean and I called you banana pancakes all the time. We're like, there goes banana pancakes.
Yeah, I always thought my nickname in high school was, what the fuck was that? Just me. All right, so Mike actually did post something here that's actually really interesting, Jason. Well, yes, it is, whoever said that. I'm thankful.
It's at the bottom.
Oh, there we go. Kurapika92 said, that's actually really interesting, Jason. Thank you. I don't know what he's talking about, though. There was an article about how review scores can skew our perception of games. Yes. And this is a big reason why I hate review scores in general for any type of media, really. I also hate how the games industry and most gamers rely so heavily on things like Metacritic and the actual score rather than what's written in the review. Seriously, fuck Metacritic!
Yep.
I gotta do that because he put it in capitals, so that's awesome. You know what? I'm not so... I wouldn't go to the extent of just the... You know, screw Metacritic or fuck Metacritic.
Metacritic's got a place, I think.
It does and it doesn't.
It's like Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah.
It gives everyone a forum to just shout about the same thing, and the forum itself figures out what people thought of it. It's kind of cool, but...
Yeah, I consider Metacritic's reliability as a score kind of thing, much like I... you know, rely on Wikipedia to be 100% fact, you know? The way that they kind of have their score system, if you guys don't know, watching this right now, is that they take all the scores, and you would think they just lump them in and do the average. Well, no, that's not necessarily true. They give a few more points, as it were, to certain sites that they deem more respectable, so to speak. And so their vote weighs more on the overall score. So it's not necessarily a law of averages with them. But the reason why I do like Metacritic is because they have all of the game reviewers that I do want to check out in one place. So I don't have to ping pong all over the place to like six different websites to find the score or the review that I want to read about. It's all right there. It's all... categorized, so to speak. It's like a chapter list for me to go to one place, see who I deem respectable in my gamer opinion and what they said about it. So I look at Metacritic as a reference tool, not so much the be all end all of my opinion on a video game. But I do agree that there are a lot of people and the industry itself who look at Metacritic and say, you know, you hear about it all the time where bonuses are given out if your Metacritic score hits 90 or above. You know, that's kind of stupid. You know, I think bonuses should be given out on the sales, plain and simple. You know, if you sell a million copies of your game, hey, bonuses all around. Your game could be absolute shit, but it sold a million copies, bonuses all around, because people put hard work into that, maybe. But what do you guys think? What are your opinions on Metacritic and the whole gamer thing?
It's funny. I actually did an episode on review scores not too long ago, I think about a month or so ago.
Jordan, you're stealing all the good ideas. I swear
I'm
to God.
Sorry. I've done this for a year. What do you want from me? But no, we're getting into that. I mean, especially with the way rental is going, you don't have as many options to try games. So having to put that $40, $50, $60 commitment on the table when you buy a game, I mean, I get that you want to see what everyone else thinks, but far too many people will just go to the scores and say, well, this game scores a 9. But, I mean, I remember 10 years ago, a game that scored a 6 is still one that I'd consider playing. And I've gone away from paying attention to scores as much as reading what the reviewers have to say and let that influence my opinion if I even let it get that far. I mean, there's certain games like Beyond Two Souls I kept media ignorant to because I wanted to know nothing about the game. I didn't want to know what people thought about it. I sat down and I beat it within the first 3 days of owning it. I love the game. I mean, everyone shit on it, but I enjoyed it. And I think unless you can find reviewers that really cater to the similar taste that you have, that's it
right there.
It's really dependent. I mean, you got to find someone who you think, hey, this guy likes the same kind of games that I do, so I'm going to trust what this person says. But you shouldn't pay attention to a score, I don't think, personally.
And Roger, that's actually the game I was thinking of when we were talking about contrast. Beyond Two Souls, terrible, terrible review scores and everything like that, and critics just panned it. I played it. I freaking love that game. You know, I don't know why, like, for all the points that people were harping on, I just kind of stood back and went, maybe you were expecting a little too much out of this game from all the stuff that you saw. Because essentially, it plays like a point-and-click adventure game like The Walking Dead. And that game was critically praised, you know? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think it has the same merits as that game, but because it was such a triple-A company that was doing it, I guess they had like different expectations or different things they wanted from the game that just weren't there, and so they scored it kind of low. So, and to kind of go on what Jordan was saying, you really do have to find someone whose opinion is really on par with your own. And sadly, I'm coming to the realization right now that two of my favorite not critics, but gamers that do this kind of medium that we're all loving, I don't fall in line with their opinion anymore. And unfortunately, Roger, that's Lauren and Brent on the Axe Factor. It breaks my heart. I've been listening to these guys for years. Uh-huh. And I love their criticism of the industry and games in general. But just recently, I'm realizing that the games that they love, I don't. And the games that they pan, I love. Like, it's sad. But they went through BioShock Infinite, and I freaking love that game. They hated it. The Last
People
of Us,
hated
which...
BioShock?
I know. It's weird. And I think, Roger, you didn't care for it too much.
Yeah,
either.
Yeah, I haven't been able to finish it.
Which is...
So that's the thing is... BioShock's one of those games where if you don't finish it, you'll never understand why it was such a great game.
Yeah.
I'm trying, believe me.
Literally Hitler.
But again, they were split down the middle on The Last of Us 2, which, mm-hmm. for me, I don't think you can be split on that game. It goes above my comprehension how you could be so split on that game. And there are people that don't appreciate it the way I do, but it's just weird. And then they just did a post-mortem on Batman Arkham Origins, and they both loved it. And I thought, what is wrong?
Well, here's the thing about Arkham Origins was a good game, but it wasn't their game. It was still Arkham City. That was the good game, because that's still the experience that you're kind of getting when you play Arkham Origins. To a point. And until you start to look deeper, and then you're like, oh, there's nothing here.
Yeah.
This is a bunch of guys.
In some cases, really, like the Bane fight, there's sometimes literally nothing there.
Yeah, if you're curious about that, you can go check out my YouTube channel.
Yeah.
I've got that described in two videos. One where the game is broken and one where they fix the games.
There you go. And I'm probably the lone voice in this camp, but everybody loved Grand Theft Auto. I did not. So, sorry. I'll return my gamer card at the door.
Sorry, Roger. I was wrong. Literally Hitler. No, I haven't played it.
All right, so we're going to move on to the very last question, which is, what upcoming feature for each system are you looking forward to the most? And I'll leave it up to you guys. Who wants to start this one off? Not all at once.
I can start.
Yeah.
There's nothing that I'm looking forward to from either system that I know of.
I'm so glad you're here, Dean. You always bring, you bring it right to the table, buddy.
I'm not going to wait to the end to say that I have nothing to say.
Yeah, so, fair enough.
Start with that.
I guess I'll jump in. I mean, really, it's the features that I'm disappointed that weren't there day one is what I'm looking forward to. I would like to have that Bluetooth support now, because I'm playing Ghosts and going, I hate this stupid little earpiece. So I'm wearing the one earpiece, and then I've got my Turtle Beach over top, which just completely defeats the purpose.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I want to see that feature, and I want to see the music and CD functionality come down and update later. What I would like to see, I don't know if there's any rumors on this yet or anything, this is just me wishful, is customization for the Twitch support, because I don't like the layout. I would like to be able to move where my camera is, and I mean, I'm glad that I can turn the chat off because it looks awful. But yeah, being able to move the camera and maybe have room to have two people in there.
That would be nice, yeah.
Yeah. But that's all I got. I mean, I'm pretty happy otherwise with the system, besides the controller's battery life. That is
atrocious. Oh, yeah.
800 milliamp battery. Really? What the shit is that?
Why did they backtrack that?
I don't know. It's awful. Like, I'm glad I bought a second controller, because I pretty much have needed to keep one plugged in.
Yeah. Man, just, yeah. You know what? I'm wondering if they're playing the accessory game on this one, and they're going to do like an iPhone every year kind of deal, where it's like, hey, new controller, longer battery life, and then the next year, hey, double that one, you know, so you keep buying things.
Someone's just going to open it up and go, here, we're going to sell you the battery. It's really easy to swap out. I mean, it was easier to do it with the PS3 controllers.
You know, I don't doubt that you're right. You could probably do that.
Mm-hmm.
Just like you can, like, there was some great videos where you can switch out the hard drive on there pretty easily.
Oh, yeah, it's super.
And they
super
said you simple. Couldn't do that on Xbox One, but they figured out how.
You can, yeah. I saw someone to do the teardown of it.
Yep.
And it's just an eSATA hard drive in there.
Tinker, tinker.
Mm-hmm.
Roger, what about you, man?
The only thing I can think of at the moment is the Gaikai streaming for getting backwards compatibility.
Damn it, Roger, that's pushing out! But what are your reasons for the Gaikai?
Just the back catalog. I mean, I still have my PS3 hooked up and everything, but I'd like to be able to play through that. And didn't they tout instant demos and such before, too, using that?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, that would be the main thing, I guess.
Let me ask you something about the back catalog idea there. Do you think that... Because I know for doing the digital thing with Assassin's Creed on the PS4, the disc actually has to be in there. Like, the PS3 disc has to be in there to play the digital version. Mm-hmm. Do you think that will have to be the case for PS3 back catalog games? Will you have to own the disc to play a Gaikai streamed version of it? And
probably, yeah.
Will you have to pay a fee?
Probably, yeah. I can see them doing that. The disc thing kind of makes sense, I guess. Maybe they'll do like a free trial demo, like what PlayStation Plus offers sometimes. Download full game, play for an hour, that's it.
Yeah. Because, I mean, like, most of the games that I'm looking at in my catalog right now, I'm pretty sure you can get them digitally.
Mm-hmm.
So if that's the case, say you bought all your games digitally on PS3, mm-hmm. and now they've got the Gaikai thing, if you don't have a disc to prove that you purchased it before, well, I guess they would show
it would
place
in your
be on your account.
Yeah.
Okay, now here's where my question lies, is... Yes, you can do that digital upgrade now. Is the PS4 reading a file that they put onto the disc separately that's a PS4 reading file, or is it somehow reading the PS3 disc? Because if it's reading the PS3 disc, then yeah, we could definitely see a feature like that where it can verify what game you have. But if it's just a file that they threw on it on top of the game to know that it's an upgrade compatible, then where do we stand?
That's a good question. I would have to say that I don't think it's something on top of the disc that they're reading. I think it's that they're reading the game disc itself, you know, because it's essentially information, right? So they can read it just like they would read a Blu-ray movie, right?
Yeah.
I believe, like, all of them would have some sort of functionality like that. But yeah, I think the one component that they don't have is whatever it is required to decipher a PlayStation 3 disc as a game. Do you know what I mean? So yeah.
The emulation software.
Thank you. Words left my brain, Dean. Thank God you're here to add nothing to this particular topic. I say that
he added
I
two
love
words
Dean.
That were essential.
I love you. Dean's the best. If anything, he's probably the most famous out of all of us on this channel. Right now. Yeah.
Famous, Mike! Did you hear that? I'm famous.
Yeah. Cool. If you want any kind of simulator kind of game, Dean is the king right now, I swear to God. Who are we on to next? Shit, who did we leave off on? We left off on Roger.
I'm the only one left, Jay.
Roger stole my comment, so I have nothing. No, I do have other things to say, but we'll get back to that. Yeah, Mike, go for it.
I'm really looking forward to seeing how... Yes, I am still here. There we go. Stupid Google Hangouts.
Didn't say anything to me.
I'm really looking forward to seeing how the Xbox One carries off this whole... You know, coming into your living room as a whole digital experience that is not just for gaming, but you know, is your whole media experience. Because if they can carry that off, I think that that'll be really, really taking the whole console thing into a new direction that, frankly, a lot of people had a lot of doubts about. And I think that that will maybe push... you know, other companies into maybe making some forays into that. I don't think it's a bad idea to have all these other functionalities and everybody's kind of crapping all over them now, but this may be the forward step that we've all kind of been, you know, laughing at that ends up making it, you know, be the coup de grace in the end. It may not be the superior gaming machine, but it may end up being the superior entertainment machine. And
yeah, you can't just watch videos on your PS4, can you? From your computer? I don't believe it has that functionality.
No.
So that's something that already that it has over the...
But then, to kind of counterbalance that, Mike, when does it stop being a game system at that point? Do you know what I mean?
When it stops playing games.
Walked right into that. Walked right into that.
Well, yeah,
jokes, people, I got jokes.
Well, that's what I'm thinking too, though, is, okay, so let's stop calling them Xboxes and let's just start calling them computer TVs. Or TV.
That's a terrible name. You should not be in marketing.
No, but what I'm saying is, as an idea, that's basically what they're doing is making an operating system for a computer for your TV that's going to run all of your entertainment. And I don't think that needs to be in an Xbox. And you're right, there's a place for it, but is it going to be Xbox? Well, it might be.
I mean, like...
They're first, but...
Yeah. Yeah, and Mike, going along your train of thought there, like if they're the system that takes off with this whole incorporating all your media in one place, what's to stop them from separating it once again and saying, hey, here's the Xbox Media Center kind of thing where you get everything in one box and it becomes that kind of Steam box experience without the games, you know? They have so much success with that they go that route, you know what I mean? And... just kind of separate that from their game system almost, you know? Like, it could be a dangerous kind of tightrope kind of deal, you know what I mean? Like, they're walking a fine line where, yeah, they want to push this whole thing really hard, but they're almost doing it to the point where they're pushing it so hard that they might distance themselves from their core gamers. And what happens if their core gamer kind of market strays away from that because it's not really doing all the things they want as a gamer? I'm not saying that could possibly... Well, it's a possibility that it would happen. I'm not saying it will happen. Do you know where I'm kind of trying to go with this?
Because
I'm kind of losing my own way.
No, I can see where you're going.
You don't want to alienate your gamers, is what you're saying.
Yeah. And it almost seems like... Maybe it's not their long-term goal, but it... Right now, it feels like that's the way it's kind of leaning. They're very heavy, and they're very compatible with doing their media center thing. But it just feels and sounds like a lot of their gaming stuff is just good enough.
Yeah. But, I mean, I suppose on the same token, you end up coming a full circle, because, yeah, if they do split it up, then that's two separate devices for two separate markets. They've expanded their market share by getting two different groups of people to buy those things, but then they've also now got that gaming system again. They'll probably still bring in, back in that that core audience, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. Did we seriously lose Mike?
Yeah, he's not in the...
Yeah,
his box he drops.
Oh, Mike, we love you. Don't go.
You scared him off.
I scared him off. You know what? Keep talking. I'm going to try and add him back in here.
Sure.
Get him a last thing.
One other thing that I actually wanted to quickly bring up is the Vita TV. Are you guys aware of it?
I've heard about this, but... Just because it's not like my main interest, I didn't really dive into it real deep. Discuss it for a little bit, yeah.
So the Vita TV, it's an add-on. It was just released in Japan, actually. And what it does is it allows you to play Vita games, PlayStation 3 downloadable content, or like any downloaded games, and you can stream your PS4 games to this. So you can actually be playing, say you've got your Vita TV in your bedroom and you've got your PS4 in the living room, you can still keep playing your PS4 game in the bedroom. Which I think is really sweet. Yeah, the only downside to it is the fact that you have to use the PS3 controller with it. You can't use the PS4 controller as of yet. Maybe there'll be an update down the road, but yeah, I think the functionality with that would be sweet, and I'm looking forward to getting something like that.
Cool.
So definitely something to look up if you guys have some time. I know GameSpot just did an unboxing of it.
Right on.
See, that would have made more sense to me if Microsoft really, if they were going to go in that direction. I know it's going to sound crazy, but they should have added a TV to it. Make it what, if that's what they want it to be, sell it as some entertainment unit. It would be way more expensive, like you're saying, but it would fit their goal, I think, more, and people would understand what they're trying to get more out of it. And I don't know. I just don't think the marketing was right for the Xbox.
Yeah. Well, they called it the Xbox One.
And what? Did we lose the mic again? Nope.
Oh, no, we're good. It froze for me, too.
There he is.
Hey! He looked like he was going to say something epic, and then he just kind of...
I don't know.
We got you, Mike. You're there.
Oh, hey. No,
Speak your mind, buddy.
They called it the Xbox One because it's the one device that they're going to use to pull your living room together.
One device to rule them all.
Exactly.
Call of Duty will have dogs.
One dogs device to find them.
So good.
Oh man. Well, I'll tell you what. I'll tie this off with a couple of my thoughts that at least one of you already stole. I'm looking at you, Mr. Lord X. He's the lord of my opinions and my brain. No, I do totally agree with you. That is the one thing I am really, really looking forward to, is the Gaikai thing that Sony's going to be incorporating. Yes, partly for the game library stuff, because I would love to just have the one console to play all my games. And as soon as they say Last of Us is playable on PS4, dude, I'm going through that experience again, full throttle. But here's an idea that I think maybe they'll have in their back pocket. Which is, I think Sony, with Gaikai, could potentially be the system that will finally bring about the video game equivalent of Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Because, man, and if not them, Steam will definitely be on top of this with their Steam box, for sure. But I'm surprised it hasn't happened already. I mean, there's Redbox... But that's a disc-based thing. I don't know anyone that's doing it with digital media right now, with all their with all the big titles. You know, There might be something for indie games where you can do that. Mike, you might have somebody in mind.
Well, no, they had it back in like 1995 or 96. So it was the Sega Channel.
Yep.
Yeah, but is that happening right now?
No, but
it's not a new idea. I'm not saying it's a new idea. I mean, we've had Netflix, which works with digital media right now. So, which is exactly what I'm talking about. You know,
didn't OnLive do it for a while?
Yeah, and pretty much, I don't know if they should be still around. I haven't heard of them going under or anything like that. But Gaikai was essentially the same thing, which has me wondering if that's the direction that PlayStation is going to go. And if they do, man, that's going to be a literal game changer, you know? So if it's just games library, I'm cool with that. If they go with the game rental kind of service or a subscription kind of thing like Netflix, that's just going to blow everything out of the water as far as I'm concerned. Going to Xbox One, the one thing I am really, really looking forward to with Xbox One is that they do something with Kinect, okay? Because whatever they've done so far has just felt gimmicky, or it's capable with other devices and other tool sets where Kinect isn't really necessary. Like, once I heard about PlayStation 4, you could do the voice commands just like Kinect on a mic. Dude, I'm sorry, but Kinect is irrelevant now, all right? And I've seen some very creative things done with a Kinect camera that's not even video game related. I've always said for the longest time that a lot of these technologies that we're getting introduced to our devices, be it Oculus Rift or Kinect or any kind of haptic kind of device, that is stuff that I think is sadly placed in our hands. You know, I think that's technology that should be out there for other people, you know? Other things, like do it for like NASA, do it for surgeons, something like that, you know? I think it'll be much more or much better developed for those kind of things. But if Kinect can, or if Microsoft can come up with a way that Kinect seems like it's going to be revolutionary, please impress the shit out of me, because you haven't done it yet. You know, I have faith that there's somebody out there that will just wow us, but it's not happening, and I want it to happen real soon.
They're actually using it, U.S. government is actually using it as a device where they can watch you play video games naked on your couch. So that's new and revolutionary.
Somebody
Kinect
mentioned
will
that.
Detect when there's no clothes on and immediately starts recording.
Yeah,
that would be a mistake in my
opinion. And that is when Switch will actually work. Okay.
Hi, everybody. I'm live.
But there was some sort of rumor, some sort of conspiracy theory that Kinect would be like really twisted shit, where they would monitor your like a heart rate monitor when you're watching certain advertisements, and then they will cater advertisements posted to that kind of thing, like just weird stuff like that, you know? I don't know if it's true or not.
Watch a Wonder Bra commercial.
I know, right? All we're going to see is, like, what, Pizza Hotline advertisements and boobs. That's it.
I'm okay with that.
Yep.
Exactly. So I don't know if that's true, but it's weird if that's going to be something that's going to come around from it. And lastly, I know we've only had hints of it being mentioned throughout the show, but the Wii U, the one thing I'm looking forward to most from Nintendo is its next-gen console, because it's not here yet.
Yes, I'm still here, stupid Google.
But no, honestly, like, if I'll give Nintendo a little bit of credit and say that if anyone is going to take last-gen console tech and show us something really innovative that nobody thought of, it will be Nintendo. You know, they're great with that. They did things on the Wii that even now I think are really ingenious things. You know, it might not be the prettiest thing in the world, but man, gameplay-wise, don't sell them short. So,
I think the big surprise is probably going to come from a company that has already done a bunch of big surprises in the industry. I wouldn't be surprised if Apple came out with their own console.
Well, damn, yeah. Not that they have to. I mean, they've got the device right there. You know,
exactly.
They just have to start doing.
But it would be so compelling for everyone that's got an iPhone if they could integrate everyone's iPhones and iPads into a console flawlessly. They would sell hand over fist.
Well, they're going to try with the touchpad integration kind of thing, aren't they? That's kind of going that route, right?
Yeah.
But you're talking specifically Apple itself doing it.
Well, I'd like to see that.
Okay.
I think it would be. I think that's the way Apple works, right? They don't announce things before they're ready to actually unveil it. That's just the way they work, and I could see them working hard on trying to get into this market because they did get into the market and they stole a bunch of it with iPads and iPhones, and they're like, well, the way I see it is, okay, they're going to want to evolve that. They're not going to be stagnant. That's not what that company does. They're the opposite of stagnant. Mm. So I would look for the next innovation to actually come from them.
They actually already came out with a console. It didn't go over very well.
What was the console?
It was called the Apple Bandai Pippin.
Shows how impressive it was because I've never heard of this.
Yeah.
It was out between 95 and 97.
Okay. See, I wasn't even like hardcore gaming then, I don't think. Huh. Yeah, I never heard of it. I'm going to do a little bit of a history check on that. And you know what? I wouldn't be surprised if we come back here and we're going to be talking about the Steam Box pretty soon because that is something like console or PC people, we're all just kind of hands and needles? Sorry, I got distracted by
hands and knees, please.
Hands and needles. Just if you've never done that, just don't.
We're all just diabetic about it. Just hands and needles.
Oh, we are sick people. But guys, that's all we've got to say. Before we go, I'm gonna go down each and every. I'm gonna go.
What did I sign up for? Jesus.
The show just got infinitely more interesting.
Wow.
I'm coming back for the next live stream. Hopefully I can get to the next base.
I'm crying. I think we should still do this in separate houses and do it.
It's going to be Christmas, too. Yeah.
Over the internet? How do you know?
Oh, my friend, you have no imagination if you don't know how to do it over the internet.
There are tools.
If you haven't done it over the internet, you're doing it wrong.
You're just not trying hard enough.
Gotta end the stream quickly, Jason. It's getting bad in here.
Oh, my God. So what I was trying to say, we'll go down the line, and I'll have each of you guys talk about your channels, what you're doing before we sign off here. So, Dean, we'll start with you, man.
Well, my channel's name is Omnimus69. I do simulations, terrain simulator, farming simulator. What's that game called? Mike, help me here. Deadliest Catch, thank you. Alaskan Storm. And I do other games too if people are interested in watching Euro Truck Simulator. That's my channel.
Awesome sauce. Jordan, what do we got to look for from you, dude?
Well, I think you're going to be on the show, so that'll
be
good.
Yeah!
We're going to make that happen, so that's going to be lots of fun. I guess hopefully they could be up this week. That's what I'm planning for.
Cool.
But for anyone who hasn't checked out the show, it is Boom Headshot. You can check out all the episodes at boomheadshotpod.com. New guest every week, so I'm always looking for people. If you are interested, you can email me. That information's on the website. And people who are on the Twitters, you can follow me there. It's at boom_headshot, HEADSH0T. And yeah, that's my deal.
There you go. And I've checked out a couple of his shows already, and I think the last one I checked out, no, that's a good thing, man. Like, it's really, Roger can back me up on this, it is really hard to find a lot of content that kind of caters to what you want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
And Roger, now that you know Jordan, you should check out some of his stuff. You and me, we're Axe Factor and Epic Battle Cry. Jordan is like right in line with that kind of stuff. Some of the guests he has on there. The last one I listened to was discussing a topic that we talked about on Deep Sea Geek not too long ago, which is the idea of bullying online.
Yeah, it was Firecrow.
That was a from beautiful, Rise of Gaming, beautiful podcast. And he has an actual community that is dedicated to this sort of thing.
Yeah, so if anyone's interested, check up Rise Up Gaming, R-I-Z-E, Up Gaming. They are a great community of people there. They're really all about the betterment of the gaming community and the positive influence as opposed to a lot of the tear down and negative, all that kind of bad stuff that we see in a lot of online gaming and certain communities. So. Mm-hmm.
Well, like I said, fantastic work, Jordan, and we're going to hear a lot more from you in the future. Trust me.
You bet.
Roger, Lord X, what's going on?
All right, well, people can check out my channel at Lord X Plays Games. I pretty much do Let's Plays of just about everything. Right now I'm putting up Minecraft videos, Dust and Elysian Tale, Guacamelee, and I do my own podcast each week, the Canuck Podcast.
I'm going to be playing Dust real soon, dude. Is it good?
It's really good.
Yeah. And yes, check out his podcast as well. Really good stuff there too. Mike, what's going on your channel, The Warrior Vagabond?
I am currently playing some Amnesia: The Dark Descent because I'm carrying that over from October. I am playing the Spelunky Daily Challenge each and every day. I am also playing some Sid Meier's Pirates. That should be ending up soon. And I'll probably be starting the Stanley Parable fairly soon.
Oh, man.
Brilliant game!
So good.
And there are some other games that I have possibly coming down the line, and I think there might be a lot of pirate themed stuff coming up on my channel sometime soon. Because, I don't know. I've been like getting a lot of pirate games in my wheelhouse lately. So who knows? If you like pirates, come check me out. Yar.
Yar. Yar? I like that. The quote of every ass pirate out there. Anyway. Aw, that was for me. That's awful. But yeah, and of course you're watching this so you know about my channel, Deep Seated Geek. Thank you guys very much for tuning into this month's live episode. And the next one will be December 29th. We've already got the idea for that show all laid out, so... With that, we'll say goodbye for now. We'll see you next month, and I will see you guys this Wednesday on a new episode of Deep Sea Geek. Thank you all for joining me. This was so much fun, guys. I love doing this. This is probably the best part of my show for me, at least. And yeah, we'll see you guys next time. Take care, everyone.
Thanks, people.
Bye.
Bye. And there you have it, guys. That was my guest spot on the Deep Sea to Geek monthly hangout, where I think we had a really good discussion on both consoles. Maybe a little bit weighted towards the PS4, but in due time, I will get an Xbox One and hopefully have some more insight into that. But it is the new year, and that's going to mean a bunch of new guests, and I'm excited for some of the guests that I have coming up. So till next week, guys, as always, be sure to hit me up on Twitter at @boom_headshot, HEADSH0T. Apparently I can't talk here. And check out everything Boom at boomheadshotpod.com. For this week, I'm Jordan Thompson. And thanks again to Jason for letting me join in on that awesome, awesome hangout. Till next week, guys, keep those sights lined and keep making those headshots.
Of the ring when I'm in the arena, cause I'm beating everybody like when Ike beat Tina. I can throw down with the campus mentality, the gloves putting stops to your whole camp's reality. Sticky bombs flying all over the place. If I find your body, you know I'm humping your face. Duck walking with my heavy machine gun, the words on your screen, you were killed by Z1. Yeah, come and run my direction. I don't give a damn if you got double protection. It's a fatal attraction. I'm white fatality, place quake and not red faction. Posted on a rock, sniper rifle in hand. Your forehead's in sight, all according to plan. Breathe wrong, homie, and you might get caught. Everybody in the room's gonna hear what I got. Cause it's a
boom headshot, boom headshot. Stalking the hearts like boom headshot, boom headshot, boom headshot. Stalking the hearts like boom headshot, boom headshot, boom.
to area. Become its own nefarious. It's necessary to be wary. You should be afraid of us. Gotcha in the sights of my rifle scope. Better take a look around before your head explodes. Taking the show on the road. See the victims light up. Better watch where you go or your mic can shot up. Better pack your grenades if you step into us. A frantic creature with a body. See them piling up. I take a real sick pleasure out of watching them fall. Rockets and grenades, I shot a free-for-all. About to whip out my sickness, get my opinion. Climb up to the top and start stabbing at your best friend. It takes 10 men to stop me, here I'm coming. In the battle mode, I keep on running and gunning. Zealous and be fair, y'all better be scared. Don't care if you respond, I'd still be camping out to be there with them.
Boom, man shot! Boom, man shot! Stalking the heart, just like boom!
Hit your 9-3 chumps in the line. Wait, I'm low on ammo, but I still got my 9. Need to reach a high level for I'm truly effective. Killing off pros and noobs, non-selective. True that dare, okay, I'm ready to go. Sticky bombs in my hand, pop tops and throw. Yo, my railgun's tracking everyone in my sector. Hey, yo, I'm in position, let me give you the vector. The coordinates match with the blips on my map. Word to that, okay, let's set up this trap. Sending noobs in to be like bait. Brain matter will splatter, all according to fate. Yeah. There's no doubt, look like they found my landmine. It's all good, now I got my snipe sights lined. This is easy like aiming at Tyra Banks. Making shots so accurate, they're taking down tanks.
Boom, man shot, boom, man shot. Stalled in the heart, just like boom.
Zealous one. Uh-oh. Turn around. Whoops. Too late. Boom.